we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running for another new year. Welcome to 2017, everyone. This is Bob Arthurs, Pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next 30 minutes with you here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. Pray that you are off to a good start. We're going to be talking today out of Isaiah 58 about fasting and the way that God wants fasting to be done. A lot of people this time of year are open to the concept of fasting. At Merritt Assembly of God, we're going to be asking people to join us in fasting 20 meals over 20 days. You're actually hearing that before I've presented that to them. I'll be presenting that to the congregation on this coming Sunday morning. So that's what we're doing. And I know for a number of years I did a 40-day soup and juice fast at the beginning of the year. And several years ago I was trying to do that, and it was just not going like it had before. And I was making it a matter of prayer because it was pretty frustrating to me. And God spoke and he said, well, let me ask you this. Are you fasting because I've asked you to, or are you fasting simply because you've always done it? I want you to know God's not into tradition. He's interested in obedience. And so if one of the investments that you would like to make in yourself is to get healthier this year and to lose some weight, make some lifestyle changes, then I encourage you to do that. Today we're going to be talking from Isaiah 58. This is probably going to be a couple of days of broadcast. We're going to talk about what does a fast look like that God has in store for us. What does it look like? Because the people that Isaiah was ministering to, they were pretty frustrated because they were doing things the way that they had always done them, and they were blaming God because they weren't getting the results that they thought that they should be getting. So let me begin reading with Isaiah 58. It says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, the day of your fast you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush? And to spread out sackcloth and ashes, would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing my pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so here Isaiah begins to minister to people who are going through the motions. You know, there are a lot of things in life that you can do. You can just practically do it like an assembly line. You don't really have to think about it. If you take the same road home every day, you really may not be fully mentally engaged in the process. You just kind of put it on autopilot and you get there. You know, they're now trying to create a market for these self-driving cars. I know that when I was a teenager, it wasn't the thought of getting a self-driving car that was so appealing to me. It was the fact that they were going to let me drive the car. And America has always kind of had this fascination with automobiles and, you know, whether all of the features and the benefits and riding in luxury or riding in speed or you know, some people like this manual transmission, some like automatic, some like to be able to go fast, and some people like to just be able to take their time and drive in comfort. But most people are not looking just to go through the routine of life. I want you to know that God is not looking for this coming year, this year that we're in now, 2017. He's not looking for it. I'm going to have to really train my voice on not referring to the coming year. We're already there now. God's not looking for us just to go through the motions. He's looking for us to be led by faith, to walk by faith, to be led by the Spirit of God. These people were going through the motions, and then they were saying, why doesn't God respond? Why is he not doing what we want him to? And I'm going to address that question a little bit later. I want you to know that God is not our servant. We are supposed to be his servants. He says that he will watch over us, he will care for us, he will love us, he will guide us. But we are the ones that should be saying, God, what is it you would have me to do today? A lot of people try to negotiate with God. I remember watching a movie decades ago about a person who was negotiating with God. God is not a deal maker. He is a covenant maker. He is looking for people who will give him all of themselves so that he can give to them all of himself. And when he gives all that he is, his entire entourage of blessings comes with him. And so it really is a tremendous offer. It is the best offer of covenant you will ever, ever have. So let's look at this and take a look at some of the things that God has for us today as far as this concept of a fast. How does God describe the term? Because in verse number 5, God asked the question, would you call this a fast? And then he says, an acceptable day to the Lord, verse number 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? And what God began to do was to redefine the terms the way that he defined the terms. He's like, you are changing the meaning, you are changing the motive, you are changing everything around, and it is not as good when you've altered it as the way that I created it. And so I find it best to stick with God's definitions. That's why I like to go, and when I'm studying for my sermons, I don't necessarily go to commentaries first. I go to the Word of God first. I let God speak, And then if God is speaking something to me, then I will go to the commentaries and I say, you know, I want to make sure that it's God's spirit that's speaking to me, not Bob's spirit. I don't want to be guilty of heresy. I believe that every one of us needs to have people that we can go to that we can say, hey, am I on the right track here or am I missing the mark? All of us need to have those trusted authorities over us that we can go to. So it's interesting when God begins to look at the fasting that they were doing. The first thing that I want to point out to you is in verse number 3, it says, in fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. And the purpose of a fast is not to do what we please, but to do what pleases God. You know, there's an old chorus, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And for your pleasure, they were created. That's what we were created for, the pleasure of God. Whenever I try to do what makes me happy, I almost invariably make myself miserable in the process. It would be in our best interest if every day that we awakened, this would be a good goal for this year, every day that we awakened, say, God, what would you like me to do today? Now, I want to remind you that there are three spiritual voices. There is God's spirit, and we always want to do what he says. There is the devil and demonic spirits, and they speak, and they try and lie, distort the truth. They try to get us to do anything but the will of God, and we want to reject them. And then there's this middle voice. It says that the prophets prophesied out of their own spirits. Not all of the prophets, just some that were claiming to be prophets. They were prophesying out of their own spirit. There was something that was going on in their spirit, and it sounded good to them, and so they let it go forth, but it wasn't going forth with the authority of the Word of God. And so you need to make sure that the things that you are doing are pleasing in God's sight. I know that in the latter part of 2016, I was hearing a lot of people passing away. There were deaths in my own family. And at that point in time, it is the evaluation is, what have you done with my son, Jesus? How have you responded to him? Were you so interested in doing what was pleasing to you that you missed what was pleasing to God? And so I want to encourage you that if you want spiritual breakthrough in this 2017, in this year, that we need to make it a priority to do what pleases God. And so that might be a good word study for you to do. Find out the things that it says, you know, grab a concordance, grab a Bible software program, and type in, you know, that this delighted God, this pleased God, this good, acceptable, and pleasing will of God. We need to find that stuff out. The second thing, it says in verse number 3, and you exploit all your laborers. The question that God would ask of us is, how are you treating those in authority or under your authority? How are you treating those who work for you? How do you treat your spouse? How do you treat your kids? How do you treat the employees that work for you? How do you treat those people that you have the ability to define the relationship? How are you treating them? Because Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes that there was exploitation of the laborers that was going on. That while they were living in luxury, they were exploiting their laborers. They were withholding wages, making them work extra, making them, their life miserable all the time. The people that are exploiting these others, they're complaining, God, why won't you do what we want you to do? So I want to treat people the way that I want to be treated. But the Bible says that whatever measure you use, that will be the measure that is used on your behalf. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. And so if you want more people exploiting you, then go ahead, treat people like garbage. I can tell you this, In some of the jobs that I've had in the past, there were employers that I had that did not treat me very well. Rather than saying, you know what, when I grow up, get to where I have people working for me, I'm going to take advantage of them the same way that others have taken advantage of me. I can't wait for my turn to take advantage of other people. That's not what I said at all. I looked at those situations and I said, God, I want to learn from this situation so that if I am ever placed in a position where there are people that I am in authority over, I'm going to look to edify them, not exploit them. I'm going to look to empower them, not to handcuff them. I'm going to look for ways of liberating them to do their jobs. So I'm not here to exploit. One of the reasons that we did not have midweek services over the past couple of weeks was because my staff works really hard. And they almost all work other jobs besides the job that they have working at Merit Assembly of God. And so we wanted them to have as much time to enjoy their families as we could, knowing that there is a lot of ministry that goes on. So I've had conversations with people, and they were attitude towards service cancellations is different. And you know what? If God speaks to you differently, then, you know, God bless you. And I pray that it works. But we want to make sure that people have an opportunity to give their heart to Jesus. That's why we offer services. We want them to have the opportunity to hear the word of God and to grow in their faith. But we also want them to know that the pastor and the staff and the board, we're all real people. We understand where they have come from and where they're at, and we want them to be blessed. So make sure you treat other people well. If you want people to say, you know, be honoring of you and your communication with them, then you be honoring of people who are in authority over you. It never hurts to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Those are all tremendous things to do. Treat those who work for you well. Pay them well. Pay them well. I'll just leave it at that. Verse number 4, indeed you fast for strife and debate. If you're fasting looking for opportunities to create strife and discord, you have missed the heart of God. God is looking for brethren who dwell together in unity, that is the place of commanded blessing. And when you are constantly about strife and discord and division, then what you are going to have is you are going to have a person who wins the argument and loses the relationship. You're going to be interested in debating, and there are people who their favorite words are, you are right. They will argue with you. There's an old expression in Oklahoma, they'll argue with you tooth and toenail. And that means they're all in. It's a fully engaged debate just so that they can be told that they are right. And so I want to give you this word of instruction, and that is, make sure that the battle you are fighting is a battle worth fighting. And I know that there are people who would disagree with me on some of this stuff, and I'm okay with that. There was a person who was wanting to debate me, and they were, this goes back decades, they were wanting to debate me about something, and they were going to continue debating until I said that they were right, even though I disagreed with them, and I could substantiate my point from the Word of God. And I said, you know, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this point. And their response was, well, that's a real biblical attitude, isn't it? And they didn't like that. Basically, until I said you are right, they were not going to be happy. And so I'm not interested in strife and discord. I'm not going to compromise my principles for the sake of peace. I'm not going to violate the word of God. I'm not going to make God unhappy just to make you happy. How's that for a way of saying it? But there are people who are very interested in just debating. They want to argue about all sorts of things, definitions of words and things like that. I've known people who would literally argue over, I'm not talking biblical words, I'm talking about over a definition that they just could not accept, even though it was the primary definition of the word. And so I've literally told people that, hey, if you're interested in debating, if you're interested in fighting, you're going to need to go find someone else, because I'm just way too busy to spend my time debating genealogies and other fruitless matters. A person visited one of our services here several months ago, and they were talking about this person that was constantly wanting to debate them, and it was in realms of theology. And I had read some articles about this particular thing, and so I was able to offer some encouragement to them at that service. But as the days went on, and if that person is listening to the radio broadcast, this will be the first time that I've been able to share with them what God spoke to me, because it was not something that I went to lightly. But this was a person who was wanting to argue from a theological perspective, and they would get very angry in the process. And so this person came to church and asked me how they should respond, and so I made it a matter of prayer. And the thing I'd like to challenge you to do is, rather than debate, let's look at fruit. Let's look at the fruit that is being born. Say, okay, we'll take the emotion out of it. You know, you've got your scriptures, we've got our scriptures. Let's look at the fruit. Who is demonstrating more fruitfulness? Who's leading more souls to Christ? Who has greater peace? Who has greater joy? Who is exemplifying a greater life of compassion? You see, those are all things that are fruit of our relationship with God. And so if you want the fruit of the Spirit, you have to abide in the Spirit. And whenever you violate that relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit that is described in Galatians chapter 5, you're going to start manifesting the fruits of the flesh instead of the fruits of the Spirit. So you're not going to be manifesting much love. You're going to be manifesting anger and hostility. You're not going to be manifesting gentleness. You are going to be harsh. You're not going to be kind, but you're going to be mean instead. And instead of having joy, you will have anger and bitterness. There's a lot of things. Look at the fruits of the Spirit and say, okay, we're not going to be able to settle this debate with intellectual arguing and debate. We will just look at the fruit. And I will tell you this, and Merit Assembly of God had a wonderful year in 2016, but we're still looking for more. We're still looking for more influence and more life change, and so we were very blessed to have a significant number of people give their heart to Jesus in 2016. We saw a lot of fruit. People would come and say, Pastor, there is so much peace at this church. And it's like, thank you. We believe in peace. And so don't get into that trap where you've got to debate and argue every point. Then the next thing, we'll move on to the next one. You do not fast. Let's see. And to strike with the fist of wickedness. Okay, there are a lot of people who are oppressing with wickedness. I'm old enough to remember when there was a huge segment of society that was concerned that if Christians got elected, they were going to legislate morality. And so they rejected that. They went the other direction. And what has happened is that as people of wickedness have gotten into power, they have oppressed people of righteousness, and they do it with wickedness. Now it's not about legislating morality. It is legislating immorality. And if you happen to disagree with a philosophy, if you happen to disagree with a mindset, if you happen to support the wrong politician, then there is oppression that takes place. And I will tell you now, God is not interested in oppression. The devil is. Okay? So you can't oppress people and think that you are doing God a favor. That is not the way it is. We want everybody to have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. The truth of the matter is, no matter how good the presentation, many people are going to choose darkness over light. They're going to choose sin over righteousness. They're going to choose an eternity apart from God over an eternity with God. That's their choice. And as I said on the Christmas program that I did for the Friday before Christmas, the Bible's very clear. If you do not want to live the way that God wants you to, keep on doing what you are doing. God is true, however. The things that he promises you for good, those things are true. They will come to pass. But if you choose wickedness over righteousness, please understand that the consequences of wickedness are just as true as the blessings of walking in righteousness. So, to begin with, today we're beginning this series out of Isaiah 58. And so if we're going to fast in a manner that is pleasing God, we've got to focus on pleasing God, not pleasing ourselves or pleasing others. We've got to treat others who work for us not as exploitable commodities, but as human beings that God has enabled us to be a blessing to. We need to focus on unity and not strife and discord. We don't need to be constantly debating and arguing and attacking one another, and we don't need to be oppressing people with wickedness. Wickedness is a lifestyle of oppression. God wants you walking in the liberty and the freedom of forgiveness and reconciliation to him. That is the best way to live. I want to live the best life I can in 2017. How about you? Father, we commit ourselves to doing what pleases you and treating others the way that you would have us to. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.